Greetings from off the grids at BBS Radio, where there are exits from the world of corporate greed. You're tuned into the show that helps you climb off the grids of the corporate state to achieve personal freedom in all parts of your life. I'm Melinda Pillsbury Foster, your host for this hour of personal revolution, aimed at awakening the vision of America that nourishes the spirit within, connecting all of us and making sure we arrive at that destination. You can call us toll-free to 888-228-4494 in the U.S. or Canada, or you can call us toll-free to 877-489-6350 worldwide. Or you can call us direct to 530-776-5154. Yesterday was the Iowa caucus, and party activists and voters in Iowa came together in their caucus locations to indicate their preference for their party nominee for President of the United States. More people participated in that process than ever before. This show is going to delve into the now-in-motion primary season, what is happening, and what you can expect from the greed people, the people who run the corporations. Yesterday, the monkey wrench of Ron Paul arrested smooth operation of their political machinery, and you can expect that now they will go into rapid motion. Our guest will be talking about the rapidly approaching electoral contest in New Hampshire. That will be a story you do not want to miss, so stay tuned. Politics is also a grid. The political grid is there to keep you locked into a set of artificially created choices that lead all to one place. All of the candidates except Ron Paul, Republican and Democratic, are actually running for the party of greed, Corporation Central. All belong to the CFR. All are vying for the opportunity of keeping you confused so that their employers, those same corporations, can continue to pick your pocket. Here you get the truth about that and all the other grids. There is a lot to learn. Political campaigns are intended to simulate the electoral process. As orchestrated by the people of the grids, what you really see is as carefully planned as a television commercial or a movie. All of us have been living in a world of illusion, one that is designed to suck you dry and keep you compliant. It's ugly, and it is intentional. Think of politics as you have experienced it as the oblivion of the Matrix. Ron is the red pill, and the ride to escape the grids has now begun, with the corporations twisting and clawing as they react to what they thought was impossible. No one expected Ron to break through. No one expected this revolution. The first step into the revolution is losing your illusions. The second step is taking action. The Ron Paul revolution is the force that makes those changes possible. Within the world of the grids, there is fear and a slow, steady process of death. When you step towards the truth, you reach the portal to community, serenity, prosperity, and truth. Off the grid shows you all of the exits. We need to take back control to the local level, and that will be another phase of the revolution. So help us help you. Ask your local station to stream us into your local area. To do that, just contact us at bbsradio.com. All past shows become available as soon as is humanly possible on the station archives. And my blog site is titled How the Neocons Stole Freedom. And this week, the story at the top is Snowmen for Ron Paul, Operation Live Free or Die. One of the grids used to staple us to serfdom is politics. That probably does not surprise you. Politics and perfectly horrible behavior are such a natural match. But the people will be heard, and now that is happening. Ron Paul supporters are not only being loud, they are changing politics and more than politics. Nowhere is that more true than on the ground in New Hampshire right now. Our guest tonight is an activist who will be talking about the revolution, so stay tuned. And now, a few small news items. You will not be getting the truth about what corporations are optioning which candidates anytime soon. The Federal Election Commission is required to report who is contributing to political campaigns, and right now that would be invaluable information. The faux Huckabee surge has taken place with massive influxes of money that were paid into his campaign committee after the close of the third quarter's reporting. Now that reporting for the fourth quarter is closed, will not be available, perhaps, for the foreseeable future. I had a very interesting chat with one of my friends who is a political wonk and very well connected. And the word is that because of an unfiled appointment, surprise, for one of those who supposedly supply oversight for the FEC, the reports will be held up and the people, that's us, will not know during this critical period which corporations are pumping funds into which corporate candidates' campaigns. Amazing how convenient that is for those with something to hide. Normally, we would expect to see those reports by the last day of January. Now, who knows? Additionally, the word is that the Huckabee campaign is receiving filtered, call those laundered funds, from corporations through Southern Baptist churches. You call that ploy the organ fund move. What happens is this. The corporation donates $100,000 to a church for their new organ. The church buys a new organ for $18,000, and then members of the church give their maximum to the candidate of their minister's choice. Cute, huh? Now, stay tuned for more, and believe me, there will be more. And now, updates from the Ron Paul campaign. This was a headline seen today. Ron Paul's 10% in Iowa shocks establishment media. Even Fox News' own talking heads think decision to exclude from presidential forum should be reversed. Now, this was from Prison Planet. Ron Paul's double-digit support in Iowa has shocked establishment media figures who have long derided the congressman as an insignificant candidate with just 2 or 3% of the vote. Even Fox News' own talking heads now agree that Paul should not be excluded from the upcoming presidential forum as campaign momentum builds. And just a couple of hours ago, the GOP in New Hampshire went on record saying that Ron should be included in the forum on Sunday. Send your thank you notes on to Fergus, who finally got it. Ron Paul received 10%, coming in fifth in the Iowa caucuses. There's a lot more that needs to be said about that race, and you'll be getting that report in my next article out before the end of this weekend. Ron did better than you might think. The 10% is only part of the story, so sign up and get that article as soon as it hits the ether. Now, Jefferson County, Iowa, delivered 35.52% for Paul. Good work, Jefferson County. That is well done. And if you have not yet done so, download your free Ron Paul toolbar today and start generating continuous money bombs that can power Ron Paul into the White House through all of the revolutionary work being done out there on the Internet and everywhere else. And now, a few thoughts for the week ahead. This is our first show of 2008. Welcome to a new year and a new world. That new world is going to be bumpy for a while. The Ron Paul Revolution will be doing its best to enact change, letting ordinary people know about Ron. That will be a big job. But the revolution has proven itself entirely capable of breaking through all barriers that corporate America erects. They will not disappoint us. And next week, you will see just why I say that. The corporation candidates, all of them, are now out of the closet, and every day more Americans understand just what is happening to our country, our communities, and to each of us. America faces a complete economic meltdown. Banks are being subsidized at the rate of billions every day. Instead of bringing our troops home, each of those corporate candidates has committed himself to continuing the failed policies of George Bush. They've talked about how they're about their vision for America. It's a time for Americans to understand what those visions would mean to our families and to us. Will we have homes left to live in? Will we have food to eat? Will we watch those we love die untreated because we can no longer afford medical care? Will we see on the television that our pension fund is gone, sucked dry through investments that were high risk when no such investments were to be permitted? Will our children learn? Will we see them go off to college or off to endless wars that send them home in coffins or mangled and without hope? Each of these candidates stands by a government that has canceled rights granted not by government but by God. Therefore, they stand by a government that has made itself God. There are questions that need to be asked, and each of the corporate candidates has answered those questions through their actions. All you really need to do is watch them and turn down the meaningless words they speak. Our guest today will be casting her first vote for Ron Paul. Roxy Collinson ignored politics until she found Ron Paul. Now she is a full-time unpaid revolutionary on the ground in New Hampshire with Operation Live Free or Die, which is also the state motto of the place where the original revolution really started. Please welcome Roxy Collinson. Roxy, are you there?
I'm here.
I am so glad you could be with us, especially considering everything that you have been doing today. Now,
well,
we always
you,
start
Linda.
By...
I'm glad to be on.
Yeah, and we always start by asking our guests to tell us a little bit about themselves. So tell us about Roxy and how you came to be a Ron Paul revolutionary.
Okay, well, I'm 28 years old, and I'm from Fordland, Missouri. I moved to Tulsa, Oklahoma about 8 months ago and started hearing about Ron Paul in May after the South Carolina debate and did a little research and decided that he was definitely my candidate. So I helped organize my meetup group in Tulsa, and we did that for about 7 months until we decided to come out to New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm. And that was a heck of a decision. That was pretty costly on your part. I mean, you had to give up and leave behind a lot of things.
The most important one being my daughter. When I told my mom what we were doing and that we were coming out here to do this, she asked if I could leave my daughter there so she could continue in school in Missouri and be with my family on the farm. So I agreed. I'm not sure if I... I'm glad about that, but I did.
Mhm. Yes, well, you do what you do as a parent. I know that. And so your daughter's back there and you're out here. Tell us about what it's like to be an on-the-ground revolutionary for Ron.
It's been a really amazing experience, actually. There's been a lot going on. We've been very busy. The people that were... signed up to come on to New Hampshire with us, they had started trickling in about a week after I did, and it was just a lot to handle for the two people that were organizing it, Vijay Boyapati and Laura Lounsbury and Wes Lounsbury were the first two people to come out here. They're from Arizona. They came out and rented the first house, and they said, well, Vijay can't go out yet, but we're going to go ahead and go up there and rent the house, and we can get you guys out there as soon as you want to come. So we headed straight out. We got arrived on Thanksgiving morning about 4 a.m. and went to sleep for a little while and woke up to a fantastic Thanksgiving dinner provided by Laura. And then once the volunteers started coming in, it got very hectic very quickly. There was a lot of organizational nightmares going on, but we got a system down pretty well, and it just fell into place. And now mm-hmm. we are... up here with about 200 volunteers.
And 200 volunteers.
Yeah, we have 200 here now. We have about 75 more scheduled to come in this week, and we've had about 100 come and go.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had a total of about 400 volunteers come up.
So and what's happening there is that people are coming in, right, and... Vijay has rented houses, and they stay in the houses, which reduces the cost of, room and of board. And then they go out, and you simply schedule people, and they're working all over New Hampshire, right?
That's right. That's right. We've rented about 14 houses, and each house holds 10 to 20 people. It's basically like, a hostel situation. We've got air mattresses covering every possible inch of the floor, and people are just lined up on them. And, you know, it's a really amazing thing that you can drive across the country or fly across the country and move in with a group of 15 strangers sharing one bathroom, and everyone gets along just fine. And it's just, I attribute that mostly to the idea that everybody that's here has just such a common goal, and that we're all very like-minded.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and the thing that's really brought you together and caused this cohesion is Ron.
Absolutely. Yeah, a lot of people, I recently went out and got a Revolution tattoo. And so right across my arm, I have the Revolution logo created by Ernie Hancock out of Arizona. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people ask me, what if he loses? Why you have a tattoo on your arm? And it isn't all about Ron Paul. It's not about the man. It's more about the message. And Ron Paul just happens to be the guy that's up there standing up for us, telling it how it is, telling the truth, and being our spokesperson. And it's really amazing how many people have come together in this movement. And it's all these people, there's so many of us, like myself, I was asleep. I had no idea how bad it had really gotten. And until I had decided to research it on my own instead of ignore politics and ignore the news, then I had no idea what was going on out there. And since I have, since I've been in this movement, I've learned so much. I've learned more in the last 8 months than I did all throughout my life. And my boyfriend has been an amazing support network for me. I have taken on a lot of work up here, and my phone rings constantly. I've had about 10 calls so far just since I've been on the phone with you. And I get, at least 250 emails a day from all over the country. I get phone calls from the media, and so I'm very, very busy. I spent a long time in my life working, really small, petty jobs, and then decided I wanted to work for myself. So I started a music promotion business, Rockstar Promotions, and Rockstar Promotions was based out of Springfield, Missouri. And I had about 4 bands that I was helping manage and promote, and it was a really, really good experience for me. But then my daughter started getting older, and I, started a relationship with my current boyfriend. We've been together almost 2 years now, and I decided that working with bands wasn't exactly for me, although my skills are definitely there. That's what I consider my specialty, is marketing. And so I decided to just move on, let him, he was in computer tech, and I decided to be a stay-at-home mom for a while. And so then we moved to Tulsa, and I decided to move to Tulsa and get a house there, and Jay got a job with EDS, the same company that Ross Perot made his millions off of.
Uh-huh.
And he was a computer tech there, and I joined the PTA, and then my uncle, who owns several Sonics in Tulsa, Oklahoma, asked me to help manage one of those. So I took that job on for a little while and just worked, part-time during the day doing that. And we'd come home, every day, and we would do Ron Paul events. My daughter is 5 years old, and she is absolutely the biggest 5-year-old Ron Paul supporter out there. She loves
That's great.
Stories. I come home, she wants to see what was on the news that day about Ron Paul. She asks me, sometimes she asks me, did anybody famous hear Ron Paul today, Mom? She had a school election where they were supposed to vote for their favorite food, and she adamantly refused to vote for anything but Ron Paul. She said, no, I'm sorry for Ron Paul. So she's a really good kid.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Hold on.
And I want to tell everybody you're actually, doing this. Did you find your keys?
No, I did not find my keys. They're lost in a snowbank somewhere. I'm not sure what happened.
I just
next.
Want everybody to know what kind of adversity she can go through. And it's the Ron Paul, you know, revolution that's taught you to do that, right? You do what you have to do.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There's one common goal among all of us, and that's, you know, living in a much freer world than what we've been living in. And we have things like the Military Commissions Act and the Patriot Act, and now the Veterans Disarmament Act. I mean, they've decided now that all of a sudden that all veterans cannot handle owning a firearm. And that, I mean, that's like saying, you know, all of any race or any group of people is not allowed to own a firearm. That's complete discrimination for no reason. They're grouping people, they're profiling people into one group, you know, because, of course, a lot of our veterans do come back with, you know, post-traumatic stress syndrome and things like that, and they have extensive mental evaluations, but they, you know, they've now decided that they need to deny the veterans the, you know, their right to the Second Amendment. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, just things like that are the exact reasons why I'm spending my time doing what I'm doing. There's so many laws that need to be changed, and I was not the person who even knew who my senator was last year. I had no idea who the senator of my state.
How does that feel as a change to you? What a change in orientation. It must be just amazing.
It is amazing. It's like getting a college education, I guess. I went to college and, you know, and things when you learn certain subjects and you're able to go to, you know, a forum or a convention and you're able to talk with people about those subjects that you enjoy learning about, you know, art, photography, things like that. It's a really great experience. And this is kind of a similar thing. You learn as you go along, you research and you find all these things out. And then, you know, you come up here and there's this huge network of people that, you know, some of them were already here with the Free State Project, and some of them have come up, you know, just for this movement. And it's just really amazing learning experience, and it's nice to be able to say that I didn't waste the last 8 months of my life watching, you know, all the new Hollywood movies. If you ask me anything about any new music or movie that came out, there is no way I'd be able to tell you anything about what it was. But ask me what new bills have been passed in Congress, and I'll probably be able to let you know. And
that's one of the things that's happening with the Ron Paul campaign, right? You're actually handing out copies of the Constitution.
Yes, I do not go anywhere without my Ron Paul signed Constitution. And, you know, we have people, negative-minded people, you know, that we are out there chanting about restoring the Constitution and things like that. And, when we do that, you know, it's easy to just pull one out of our pocket and say, I read the Constitution. I have it right here. It's, you know, it's going on. So,
mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's been a great learning experience.
I mean, that they're so, I mean, just a few years ago, nobody could have told you articles in the Constitution, and that's the thing you're seeing in the Ron Paul movement. People are learning their Constitution.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, you know, they never made us memorize, you know, the Constitution in school or anything like that. I don't even think we said the Pledge of Allegiance after second grade. So, you know, when you learn in school about history and civics and economics and things like that, they don't tell you, you know, what started all this. They give a brief, you learn about the founding fathers in third or fourth grade. And unless you want to take specialty classes in high school or college about those subjects, then you have no idea. You have no idea what's going on. I spent my whole life not knowing anything other than what I wanted to know about. And that was, you know, as a teenager, of course, music and movies and things like that. And now there's so many. We have a 17-year-old kid in our house who can recite the Bill of Rights. I mean, we have, you know, these young children that are 17 to 20 years old, just fresh out of high school and still in high school, and they are able to hold very articulate, interesting, educated conversations with 45-year-old men. And that's a daily occurrence everywhere I go within this movement. Everywhere we go, it's like that. You know, it's people coming together. It's no longer about generations or age anymore. It's about a message of, you know, education and freedom. And Ron Paul's a big supporter of homeschooling, and there's a lot of homeschooled kids in this movement. And, you know, it's been really awesome.
And is it so there's several different things that are happening here simultaneously. Now, one of the reasons that you're in New Hampshire, of course, is because the primary is coming up. And what you're doing is raising awareness of Ron Paul in New Hampshire. And could you tell us some things about how that works?
You mean the what we've been doing, the job that we've been doing up here?
Absolutely, because how do we know? We're not, most of it, I'm sure very few people listening are in New Hampshire, so how do they know?
Right, I see. Well, we, like I said, each house that we have rented has a house captain. And that house captain, we have a nightly conference call at PM. I'm actually missing it right now. They're all going to be pretty mad at me. But we have a conference call at 8 p.m., and then luckily we always have at least one person willing to take down the notes of what's happened during the call and email that out to us. So it's kind of like when we miss Ron Paul on TV of anything, we always have somebody that uploads it to YouTube immediately afterwards, so we don't actually miss it. It's kind of the same deal.
Mm-hmm.
Those of us who have been coordinating these efforts have been very, very, very busy, and it's really hard to keep up with all of the different things that have been going on. So.
Mm-hmm. And things are going on continuously.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I'm sure things are going on and you don't even necessarily, this isn't regular hours at all. I mean, it isn't like it's a 9-to-5 job. You're doing this continually.
No, this is a 7 a.m. to 2 a.m. job, and even beyond that. There are so many different things that we have been doing up here. Every day we have a basic schedule of things that we do. We separate into groups. We have about 120 people each day that are out there on the streets, hitting the streets and going to different cities. And we generally meet up, coordinate every day with a sign wave or a banner, a march or a banner wave or something like that on either an overpass or a busy intersection. There's business canvassing. People go door-to-door to businesses. Talk to the local business owners, find out, if they have the same ideals and issues as what Ron Paul stands for, and we talk to them, and a lot of those businesses have now put signs in their windows and in their yards. And then we also do door-to-door canvassing with voter lists, Republican, registered Republican, and independent voters. We go to these doors and addresses, we tell them, hey, we're a supporter, we drove from, wherever, we flew from wherever, and we just want to, help spread the message and ask them what their issues are and things like that. Then we also have blanket canvassing, which just means we just go randomly door to door to any door. And we have lit drops, which we go out on, the busy streets anytime. Any event that happens, one of the nightly things that we do at the Hampton House is we have a roundtable discussion. We get the calendar. Several people have their laptops. One of us is basically like the meeting organizer or whatever, and people brainstorm, come up with ideas, and we talk about what events are going on in what city at that time, for the next week or the next day or whatever. And then we just, we have several dry erase boards in the house. We have some for candidates' appearances in different parts of the state and, things like that. So it's very, very well organized. It is much like a job. My phone, like I said, rings off the hook from 7 a.m., when I'm on one call, I usually get at least three calls during that call, and so I have to, three voicemails to check. Every morning I get up with at least 10 to 15 voicemails of, calls that I have to return and, let volunteers know they have a place to stay or that we're, what the schedule is, mm-hmm. things like that.
Your coordination central?
Well, me and a couple other people. Each house captain has about the same job I do.
Mm-hmm.
They have to make sure that they coordinate with VJ and his group and make sure that everybody has materials in each house, that there's Slim Jims from the campaign. We have a woman up here that helps run a print shop, and her name is Linda Lagana. She's an amazing, amazing woman. She's such a great Ron Paul supporter, and she just helped, she prints out these literature, these business cards and these flyers. Most people might know about the Mosaic flyer. Back in June, we all uploaded our pictures to one website, and then my boyfriend actually got on the forums after the first Mosaic was created and said, hey, we have our first full-page ad. And then within 6 hours, we went back to the forums, and there'd been like $700 raised already just to put this ad, full-page ad, in the paper. And then, of course, we have people like Larry Lepard. He's spending, dropping $100,000, $80,000 here and there to put full-page ads in places like the USA Today and the New York Times and things like that. He's put full-page ads in every single newspaper in New Hampshire explaining why he's willing to drop all this money on Ron Paul, you know, and there's just, everybody in this movement has a special talent or a special gift or, you know, there's a lot of us that are broke and a lot of us that have money, and the ones that are broke rely on their other Ron Paul supporters that are supporting us in this message and what we're doing up here, and they, you know, we created a chip-in link before we came up here, and we absolutely could not be here without those people, without our meetup group, people from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Those people have donated so much money to us, and in Springfield, Missouri, and Oklahoma City, those people, and then just random strangers around the country. We've gotten, I'll wake up one morning with a $200 or $300 donation from just some stranger, and these guys don't, they don't want gratification of that. They don't want us, they don't care if we call them and say thank you or anything like that. They're just like, do your thing, you know, rock New Hampshire, win for us. So
what you're saying is, though, it's, this has been very spontaneous. Everybody, since they put their intentions out there, and other people simply help them create that and make that happen.
Yes, that is correct. It's a lot of brainstorming. When we first came up here to do this, we were pretty much just driving blindly into a state we had never even seen before, and we had no idea what to expect. We really thought we had our work cut out for us, you know, supporting Ron Paul and getting this message out there. But we were very surprised quickly to find that there were so many people already here. There were so many yard signs. Moving up here was like fast-forwarding 3 months into the election. I mean, there's just signs everywhere and people explaining that they were already, they didn't need our literature because they're already voting for Ron Paul. And
they said, save it for somebody else.
Yeah, exactly. And independence, the independent vote is going to be very strong for us in New Hampshire. And I don't know, it wasn't well televised, but Ron Paul won the independent vote in Iowa at the caucus last night with 29%. And of course, you know, the CNN automatically and Fox News automatically reported before even 30% of the precincts were reporting last night, they were declaring Huckabee the winner. So, I mean, the media has decided that this election will be decided by them. And so they're going to pull out all the stops and do everything that they can to persuade the American people to vote this way or that way. And that's very evident with Mike Huckabee's search. You know, a few months ago, he wasn't, nobody knew who he was, and he was kind of a joke among most hardcore Republicans. And then the media started paying attention to him and putting him up on a platform, and then all of a sudden his poll numbers went up 20% in the same week that we happened to raise $6 million in one day back in December. And
amazing
so,
coincidence. Just
yeah.
Amazing, huh?
Yeah, it is kind of a coincidence there. So,
and, of course,
but,
it was exactly the same time he addressed the CFR, too.
Yes, yeah, he had a meeting with the CFR, and you know, what a lot of people don't realize is there's President Bush himself has said that it's all a conspiracy and that people who believe it, you know, are just whatever. But you can go right to the CFR website, CFR.org, and look at the list of people that are on there. And these are all major media people, journalists and, you know, politicians that are having these meetings together. And if, you know, CNN was on their own channel just a few months ago stating that there's no law against media lying. Media is allowed to say whatever it wants to say. There's no law against it. So they can tell us whatever they want, and people will believe it because there are so many people out there that rely on Sean Hannity or, you know, Rush Limbaugh to tell them who to vote for or what to do the next day. So
less all the time, though, it seems like.
Yeah. There's a lot more friendly media that's come out and said that, well, for instance, we have found out recently that the GOP is actively protesting Ron Paul's exclusion from the Fox Forum that's to be held on the 6th. And there's an ABC debate there the night before on the 5th that they changed the rules at the last minute and decided only the top four candidates from Iowa will be included. And
so they decided only the top four. That means Rudy doesn't get to go either?
Rudy does not get to go either. Yes, that is correct.
How so funny.
Yes. So there's, you know, there's just a lot of things that are being done, but it doesn't discourage Ron Paul supporters. Ron Paul supporters see, you know, negative articles, and there's automatically a thread on the forums for, you know, everybody to be emailing. I can only imagine what it must be like to be a journalist these days, because they have to be receiving thousands of emails from Ron Paul supporters every single day. So I can cry about my several hundred emails a day from volunteers, but I kind of feel way more sorry for them getting hate mail from so many people about their negative articles.
Well, and it seems like less and less of it really seems to stick. Wouldn't you agree that people are hearing these things, but they're simply starting to turn, you know, to turn off, at least in their mind, the media, the conventional corporate media, because they can see that it's lying. It's just not working anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, there were several, we had people on the ground in Iowa as well that were reporting back to us from the precincts. There was four different precincts that Ron Paul won the vote to, like, straight out won first place. There was two that he tied for first place. And, you know, so the support's out there. They're just 10%. That's, you know, double digits in a state that they said we had absolutely no chance in, that they said he was polling at 2% or whatever. And you know, these polls, somebody's paying for these polls. Somebody's paying for these results. There's money involved in polling, and a Penn and Teller episode on Frank Luntz is one of the most amazing things to watch and see what a crock these polls are, because, you know what, I've been doing this for 8 months. I'm a registered Republican, and I've been doing this for a long time. I've never been polled. Nobody's ever asked me who I was voting for, and I have actually been, I was at a friend's house when the Rasmussen poll people called, and they put it in the speakerphone, and it said, press 1 for Mike Huckabee, press 2 for Mitt Romney. And it went on down the line, and then it said, press 6 for none or other. Ron Paul's name was never included. You couldn't press 6 to get more names. You could only press, they put the top 5 on there, and then said, press 6 for none or other. So,
well, they know how to get the answer they want.
Yeah, exactly. So I have no doubt in my mind that if you call 700, you know, Republicans that voted for Bush in the last primary and voted in the primary before that, I cannot even believe that 10% of those people, and we've gone up to, I think 8% nationally in those Rasmussen polls, and, you know, I'm surprised that there's 8% of those people that you know, support Ron Paul, because, you know, even though George Bush's platform when he ran the first time was very similar to Ron Paul's, they were both conservatives. I think that George Bush has just been misled in the last couple years and has bit off more than he can chew a few years ago when he started this war. And I don't think he realized what the ramifications were and how much, you know, damage it was going to cause.
Well,
so,
actually, you do know that before he was ever elected, before he went to D.C., he was already very much invested with the petroleum companies, right?
Well, absolutely. And there were memos that went out way before 9/11 between Dick Cheney and George Bush that said, you know, when we win this, we've got to get Iraq. When we win this, not if we win this, but when we win this, talking about the election, the first one, that, you know, they had to get Iraq. Those memos have been sent out all across the internet. Everyone has seen them. So it's obvious that there was an agenda beforehand, but I don't think that he knew what was going to, I don't think he knew that America was going to just, you know, go crazy over this a few years after the fact. Everyone supported the war in the beginning because, you know, it was right after 9/11, and the media had convinced people that there were weapons of mass destruction, and then no weapons were found. We caught Saddam, and then Saddam was put to death. So at that point, the war really should have been over, and we still continue to fund the war. We still continue to, you know, put money into it and lose our soldiers and lose Iraqi citizens over it. And these Democrats that say they're anti-war and then continue to fund the war are no better than George Bush, who started the war in the first place. So,
well, no,
you know,
they're definitely no different. You can see that. There's a consistency, and the consistency is you have a corporate cabal running America.
Absolutely.
And that's just the way it is. If you take a look, you know, there's the concept of Occam's razor, and things are explained by what is obvious. You know, once you've eliminated everything that's impossible or complex, what's simple is what explains it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, the reason why we decided to come up here in the first place was we knew exactly what it was like to hold full-time jobs and maintain our households and our children and try to run a Ron Paul meetup group and be an organizer and promote Ron Paul every night, have sign-making parties or banner waves and things like that. We knew what a struggle that was to do. And so we decided to come up here to take some of the slack off of the meetup group organizers who have already done a great job up here. And there's just so many of them that are doing fantastic things. We're working with the meetup groups, and they're doing great up here. So
I know, and it's just amazing when you see what people are doing all over the country just to make this happen.
Yeah. Are you there?
What's left behind the real